With the Saturday morning scoreboard, I'm Jeff Duffy on Dakota Sports KOKK. It's the final day of the fall sports season for South Dakota high schools as all three state volleyball tournaments will wrap up. State champions will be crowned tonight. In AA semifinals, Harrisburg stayed undefeated. They downed O'Gorman in four sets, 25-17, 23-25, 25-21, 25-21. Sioux Falls Washington advanced as they defeated Sioux Falls Jefferson in the other semifinal, 25-20, 25-13, 25-16. AA consolation round, Watertown defeated Aberdeen in three, 25-19, 13-17. Roosevelt swept Brandon Valley, 25-20, 14-19. Class A, Dakota Valley and Del Rapids will play for the championship tonight. Dakota Valley knocked off eight-time defending champion Sioux Falls Christian in the first semifinal last night, going all five, 19-25, 28-26, 25-20, 15-25, 16-14. Meanwhile, Del Rapids made short work of Hamlin, winning in straight sets, 25-11, 9-16. In the consolation round, Miller bounced back from their opening round loss to defeat Mount Vernon Plankinton in four, 21-25, 25-14, 26-24, 25-18. And Sioux Valley went five to defeat Winner, 22-25, 25-14, 25-19, 13-25, 16-14. In Class B, it's Chester and Warner in a rematch of last year's state final. Chester defeated Burke in four sets, 19-25, 25-17, 28-26, 25-18. And Warner upended Hitchcock-Tulare in straight sets, 25-20, 25-23, 25-20. Consolation round, Castlewood swept Kadoka, 25-20, 17-19. Coleman Egan had the sweep of Gayville Volland, 25-17, 17-10. So here's the matchups for the final day of volleyball in South Dakota. In the Class B, seventh place today, Kadoka plays Gayville Volland. Then the Consolation Championship, Castlewood and Coleman Egan. Third place, Burke Hitchcock Tulare. In the championship, Chester and Warner. In Class A, seventh place, Mount Vernon Plankinton and Winner. Consolation Championship, Miller and Sioux Valley. Third place, Sioux Falls Christian Hamlin, and the championship, Dakota Valley and Del Rapids. And AA, seventh place, Aberdeen plays Brandon Valley. Consolation Championship, Watertown, Sioux Falls Roosevelt. Third place, O'Gorman plays Sioux Falls Jefferson. Championship, Harrisburg and Sioux Falls Washington. And as I said earlier, that'll wrap up the fall sports season for South Dakota high schools. One college basketball score last night, men's Southern Indiana defeated South Dakota 92-83. A few other announcements to pass along. Tiger Roar Booster Club postseason potluck for Huron Tiger Volleyball will be Monday. We'll start at 6:30 at the High School Commons. Everyone is welcome. Tomorrow, Huron Area Volleyball Club will hold tryouts for the upcoming 2025 Junior Olympic season, JO. Tryouts will begin at 1:30 at the Huron High School Gym tomorrow afternoon, ages 15 to 18 at 1:30, ages 12 to 14 at 3. There will be a parent meeting at 4 o'clock, then ages 10 and 11, 5:15 till 6. Local players must pre-register before tryouts. $10 fee is due at the time of the tryouts. And for any questions, you can email huronvballclub@outlook.com. Huron Youth Wrestling season sign-up will be a week from Monday, December 2nd, at the National Guard Armory, 5 till 6. It's open for boys and girls, pre-K through 6th grade. Cost is $75. An AAU card is required. Scholarships available. Kids will be bringing flyers home from school next week before Thanksgiving. Coming up this morning on Dakota Sports Saturday, we'll review the volleyball seasons for Huron Tiger freshman, sophomore, and JV with their coaches, Brittany McClanahan, Lizzie Rammel, and Audrey Kaufman. And coming up next week, a week from today, the Mason Moody Jazz McGurr Invitational at the Dex. We'll talk with Jazz McGurr about the event in its second year and what you can expect to see. Going to be a lot of good cowboys and cowgirls in town for that event on the 30th. That's our Dakota Sports Saturday show coming up at about 7 minutes after 8 o'clock this morning. With the Saturday Morning Scoreboard, I'm Jeff Duffy on Dakota Sports, KOKK. We are back on Dakota Sports Saturday, and we're doing a review of the Huron Tiger freshman volleyball team this year. Brittany McClanahan, I believe her fourth year now as the head freshman coach for the Tigers, and good numbers this year. We'll get to that, but first off, did have an A and a B. Just give some of the brief season highlights, records, and all that.
Okay, so this is the first time in about 3 years since I've had a B team. I did have one with this group of seniors when they were freshmen. I also had a B team as well, so kind of getting back into that. My freshmen, they split with 9-9 this season, and then my B team went ahead and did 3-14, and they were one game short when we went to Watertown. We didn't get to play our B match there, so... But we did make a lot of progress throughout the season in our B games.
And I guess first, just kind of go with those numbers. As you said, it's been a few years since we're able to have an A and a B. So, you know, that's just good to give girls opportunities, and nice to see girls stick with it as well.
Yes, we had 13 this year. So our A team, we just played about 7. But then we had the rest on our B team, and 4 of our freshman A team also played on the sophomore team, so it's kind of good to utilize them in a few different areas.
Well, I'll start with the A team then. As you said, they went 500, and with 4 girls getting a lot of time, also playing some sophomore. Just kind of go down the roster there, the girls, and what they did for you.
Okay, so I'll start with my outsides. I had Lennon Caudell and Maggie Storm. They were both very strong hitters. They played all the way around for me. Lennon, she kind of goes back and forth. She was a setter last year, and she set on the sophomore team, but we used her as an outside hitter for freshmen. But she can put the ball away. Just got to keep her confidence up, and then we'll be good there. Maggie had amazing defense toward the end of the season. She worked really hard all year. We always joked that if we could give a hustle award, it would always be to Maggie Storm, because she was always the one hustling after balls. She was always the last one in the huddle because she was making sure that everything was put away, or if we needed anything, she was always grabbing it for us. And then I'll go ahead and move on to my middle. So I had Claire Davis and then Jada Morrison. Both Claire, she played, I believe, some middle, and then she kind of changed her position as well from what it was last year. So she's kind of looking at something different, and she also played on the outside for the sophomore match. So she got a couple different looks in there. And then Jada also played for my B team as a middle as well. So they got as many reps as we could. We couldn't always get the ball in front of the 10-foot line, which makes it hard as a middle hitter, but they were always practicing everything that we tried in practice. They did it in a game, so I'm very thankful for that. And then our right sides, we had Piper DeJean. She set for us. Last year, I think she was maybe a middle, and then also she was a right side as well. They kind of utilized her in a couple different ways. And then her opposite was Olivia Cheddar. And we kind of ran, some days it was kind of like a 6-2, some days it was kind of like a 5-1, just kind of depended on how our defense was that day. But they both stepped up and did a lot. They focused on whatever we practiced in practice, they were putting into the game plan, which was always nice. And they were always looking to see what could they do better. And then my middle, or my defensive specialist, Rosalena Moreno, she was also my libero for the B game as well, and she was always busting her butt. She always had a smile on her face, unless she was mad at herself. So it's always good to have somebody who's always kind of pushing everybody to be happy. Then we'll go to our B game. Like I said, I had 3 of those girls play on the A and the B, so that was Rosalena, Jada, and Olivia. And then I had Isabella Fechner. She was my outside. She played all the way around. And about the third to the last game, I said, "Can you spot serve?" And she's like, Well, yeah. So after that, I started calling her sirs. So it was always kind of fun to see. It was kind of a challenge if I could get her to crack a smile because she was always very stoic. So we had a lot of fun with that. And then I had Maritza Hernandez Colchada. She played in my right back a little bit. I had a lot of girls, so I had to kind of be smart with how I was going to get them all in. She worked hard. Definitely not as confident as she could be, but volleyball is a newer sport for her, so it was kind of a lot of adjusting and trying to figure out watching other players to see what she could learn from. And then we had Magdalena Lee. She actually had a pretty bad concussion, so that kind of took her out for quite a bit of the season. But when she did come back, we kind of eased her in the B game, playing in the left. And then we had Amy Mejia Castillo, and she was my right side hitter. She was my opposite for Olivia Cheddar, who set in my B game. And she was always working hard. She was always cheering. She was excited. And she was always saying, "I'm sorry," even though she didn't mean to do anything wrong. So it was always fun to watch her. Then we had Morgan Myers. She was one of my middles, along with Jada Morrison. And Morgan, she was fun. She definitely made a lot of progress throughout the beginning of the season, or throughout the whole season. At the beginning, we really struggled getting her serve over the net, and now she was able to do that, which is huge progress. And then we had Kayla Nunez. She was also one of my outsides. She's got a lot of potential on the outside and in her defense. She can read the ball really well, which is important. She can read the tips, and she's in the right spot once she can see them. So that's pretty awesome.
And when I look at that whole thing, and I'm trying to remember, I don't know that I ever saw a roster that actually showed the heights, and I know I didn't really get a chance to watch the freshman play because you're usually in a different building, but I think we have this kind of the same thing going on, not a ton of height in that freshman group again.
No, we were a very short team compared to some of the other schools, especially when we would look at some of the Sioux Falls teams. The girls would be like, "Oh my gosh." But I always have to tell them, just because they're tall and it looks like they can hit the net or hit the ball does not mean anything when you put a blocker on the other side. So it's all about hustle sometimes.
And again, I always say, I've said this every year we've done the interview, the freshman girls, they just have a little different thing to work with. It's a jump from middle school to high school. All of a sudden, you're practicing on Wednesdays. You're going everywhere the varsity goes. There's adjustments there, making sure you're taking care of the homework and all that, too.
Yes, they, a lot of them are kind of struggling with, you know, in middle school, volleyball is for fun and that's it. And when you get to high school, you're doing it more so to win the game, right? We want to win. And so there was a couple people that's an adjustment. Like, I can't just miss practice and then play the next day because I wanted to. So it was kind of learning that, like, if I'm going to miss, then there's going to be repercussions that kind of go along with that. But they were good about keeping their grades up and working hard the entire time.
And finally here, this is always close out the interview as well. We had a big senior group that graduates off of this year's varsity. So there's spots to be filled next year, maybe not varsity, but up JV. What are some of the things you want to see this bunch do? It sounds like there's girls that are dedicated to the sport.
Yeah, this group of girls, if they continue to put their minds to it, I have no doubt that they will compete for varsity spots next year, or for sure JV spots. We just got to keep them working in the off season. Most of them, like, they're not very tall, right? But they're strong. So if we can just increase their vertical, that's going to go a long ways. They have the heart and the determination. If we can just kind of work on some of those skills that they were struggling with throughout the season, if we can just kind of fix those or kind of tweak them how we need to, then I think they'll be great.
Brittany McClanahan was freshman coach for Huron Tiger Volleyball, finishing her fourth year on the staff. Again, had both an A and a B team this year, first time since 2021. The freshman A, 9-9. The freshman B went 3-14. More Huron Tiger Volleyball coming up on Dakota Sports KOKK.
Continue our cruise through Huron Tiger Volleyball, talking with sophomore coach Lizzie Rammel as they finished out their season with a record of 8-10. And Lizzie, just an overview of the season here. A little bigger roster, it seemed like, this year, and you did play a lot of girls.
Yeah, this was the biggest roster I've had since I started coaching in Huron. I actually started with 18 on my roster this season, which is a varsity roster. That's the number of jerseys you can put on a varsity bench. So there were a lot of freshman girls with a lot of talent that moved up to the sophomore team, and then we had a lot of sophomore girls this year too, which is good. There's numbers on both in both grade levels, so I had a pretty big roster overall.
And 8-10, obviously you'd like to at least get that 500 and maybe a winning record. A few injuries and a few close losses kind of all contributed to that.
Yeah, and actually we played a lot of sets that went three, that some of them didn't quite go our way. So they were well-fought matches. We just didn't come out with, like you said, the 500 record. But at the end of the day, I was really happy with our record because the girls worked hard and they, you know, played with a bunch of different people on the court all the time, and we just kind of mixed things up and they fought through it. And I think they had the potential to come out with a better record, but it just doesn't always fall your way sometimes, and that's what happened this year. And like you said, there were a couple injuries on the team. Some had to miss like a game or two and then were able to rejoin, and we even had a couple that had to miss like the last half of the season because of injury. So you just kind of take it in stride and deal with it.
Well, let's run down the roster, talk about each girl a bit and what they brought to the team.
All right, so I had Kaya Cheddar. She was a sophomore setter. Kaya is a very versatile player, so she could play offense, defense, and does great behind the line serving too. I had Lily Miller, another sophomore. She was a defensive specialist, and she's really scrappy in the back row. She's not afraid to hit the floor and maybe, you know, scuff herself up a little bit as she's going after balls, so she added a lot of speed. Piper DeJean, a freshman, she would play anywhere that I wanted her to play. So she actually started the season with a role, and then as some girls got moved around at other levels, her role changed a little bit, and she took it in stride, and she didn't complain about it, and she owned her new role on the team, and she put her wherever I needed her to go. So that's appreciated. Maggie Storm, another freshman, she was one of my outside hitters, and she sometimes played defense. Maggie, what I like about her is she is really good at mixing up her shots, and she's a super coachable kid. So when I told her to hit the line, she would hit the line, or at least attempt to. If I told her to hit a cross-court shot, she would hit it cross-court. Then I had Colby Glanzer, a sophomore. She played a little bit of a couple different positions. She started the season as an opposite hitter, so on the back pin, and then she moved to an outside hitter as her JV role changed a little bit. She also played defense, again, pretty versatile. She could play front row, she could play back row. She could, you know, she was really consistent behind the line, actually one of my best serving percentage servers, so she was really good. Claire Davis, a freshman, she played the same role as Maggie Storm, so outside hitter. They swapped sets. Set one of them would play, set two, the other would play. And just like Maggie, she was good at mixing up her shots. I think she got a lot more comfortable with having roll shots and tips and not just swinging all the time, so that was nice to see. Abby Harrington was one of my middle hitters. She's come a long way since freshman year. She was able to score when we would run quicks, like ones, you know, the middle, not a high ball, but a short ball right above the net. She would score just about every time she ran it. So when we were ever down and we would come out of a timeout, I would say run a quick with Abby because it was almost a guarantee that it would score. And she was one of the ones who had to miss a couple games at the end of the season because of an injury. But she was really valuable when we had her. Isabel Kramer, a sophomore, she was a middle hitter. Isabel is just a good human all the way around. You can say anything to her, she won't get upset. She's got a good work ethic. She's got a good head on her shoulders. You know, she's a team player, and she was, again, very valuable in the middle. And her serving impressed me a lot towards the end of the season. It seems like, I don't know if I wasn't always paying attention, but one time she got an ace, and I was like, where did that come from? And then all of a sudden, she was getting aces for the rest of the season. She just really drilled down her serve, and that was really great. Ava Wambach was my libero. She's a sophomore. Super, super quick. She's got good reaction time on the ball. She, again, is another really hard worker and a really good team player. So you love to have kids on the team like that that can kind of boost the morale. They keep their head up even when you're in a situation where you're down, and they can just pick everybody up and not just themselves. So she was valuable in keeping the ball off the floor. She kept us in a lot of matches. Natalie Kinsley, a sophomore. What's special about her is she's a lefty, and so when we put a lefty on the back pin, sometimes that can be hard to defend for other teams just because of the proximity to the net and how quick it can go. So she was valuable in the front row. Again, she's another one that worked on mixing up her shots. So she worked really hard on hitting corner shots, whether it was down the line or cross court, and scoring points for us there. Lennon Caudell, she was a freshman, and she's just another one of those like really hard workers, really, really able to play anywhere that you put her on the court. She set for me, but depending on the set, she also sometimes would transition to an outside hitter and play defense on the outside. And I mean, this girl, she's like I don't know, 5'4", 5'5". Sorry, Lennon, if I got that wrong. But she's got a crazy good vertical. And I said to her, you need to be a gymnast because of how strong her legs are. But she plays basketball. So she was good to have on the team, a really good athlete. So then I had Judy Tun. She's a sophomore. It was actually her first year going out for volleyball this year. And she learned a lot. Like, when I'm saying it was her first year, she didn't know any of the defensive spots on the court, which by the time you come to high school, you're kind of expected to know that because, you know, it helps the everybody flow smoothly and you're not running into each other for balls and there's no drop balls. And she was eager to learn. She took advice from me, from the other coaches, and from her teammates, and she learned a lot as the season went on. She also had a really good pump-up attitude, and she had these kind of like one-liners that she would say all the time to get everybody kind of laughing. Jaylee Olson, another middle hitter. So she's played JV and sophomore. Jaylee's got a really strong swing. Her hitting has, like, you know, gained leaps and bounds from where I saw her start as a freshman. I'm excited to see what she does in the future. Again, just another good weapon to have offensively. She's tall. She can block. She's quick. She can run quick. She can run high balls and put them down. She also likes to run behind the setter sometimes, run some routes that we like to call like dogs, and she was really good at that. And then last I had Jerrianne Fergan. She's another sophomore. And again, Jerrianne is another kid that just owned her role. Anytime she was in a drill in practice, she was, and the girls knew I was, my biggest thing always is communicate. You got to be talking. And Brittany and I would get after them if they, you know, weren't always talking to the expectation that we had. But Jerrianne, you could always count on her to be talking loudly, that to the point where I had to be like, okay, bring it down so people can hear me a little bit. But it was good. It was needed, and she set a really good example for that. And what I appreciate about Jerrianne is, like I said, she accepted her role. She wasn't a kid that got the most playing time. You know, occasionally she went in, and she was ready to fill in whenever I put her in. But in practice, she didn't let that get her down. She worked hard in practice. She was fun to be around. You know, her teammates enjoy her, and she worked hard.
Again, talking with Lizzie Rammel, the sophomore coach for the Huron Tiger volleyball team, and capping off a season that went 8-10. And I guess two things. First off here, you know, we had freshmen coming up. So not all these girls had necessarily played together before this year.
Yeah, so, I mean, last year these, you know, the freshmen were eighth graders, and then the sophomores were freshmen, so they definitely didn't play together there. There might be a little overlap in JO season, you know, that's the time where they might get to play together, but otherwise, I assume coming into the season that, yeah, it's a clean slate, they haven't really played together, and that does make a difference because you learn to trust the people you're on the court with. Like if I'm talking about Ava being my libero and she picks up every single ball, well, then the players get used to her picking up every single ball. But if I bring in a freshman playing with a sophomore that doesn't pick up every single ball, then it creates this little gap. So we work hard on just like creating good team chemistry and like being able to trust each other on the court and kind of groove with each other. And it worked really well this year. Like, just like every year, I mean, the girls, they really do a great job and kind of make our job easy because they do what they're told. They go in and they want to play. They're there to have fun. So they, you know, figure out a way to work together, and they know that they need to work together with their teammates to, you know, keep a spot on the team. So they do good with that. But this year we got pretty lucky because sometimes the freshmen and the sophomores will practice in different gyms. And I think there was some reconstruction going on at the TAC with the roof. And so it caused the cheerleaders to practice in the high school gym. So the freshmen and sophomores were both at the arena with the JV and varsity this year. So we were lucky in the sense that we did get to practice together every single day. Now, there were a couple sophomores that played JV, and they would alternate between, you know, which court they were on at practice. We wouldn't necessarily get to do rotations with them every single day, but at least a few times a week we would get everyone together, and that was helpful because there have been years where we haven't got the freshman and the sophomore to be able to have a consistent practice schedule.
And we'll just wrap it up with this. Like I always end these here now, we had a big group of seniors that are leaving now this year. That leaves roles for next year's varsity. So, you know, these girls, along with some of the JV girls, they're all possible candidates there. What do you want to see this group work on here now moving forward?
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, the seniors are going to be missed. They're a big group, like you said. They've got a lot of fun personalities, but these underclassmen are—they're kind of workhorses. A lot of them—they go to the weight room and they put in the work, and some of them even do extra reps. And they come to practice and they're ready to work. Now, let me say, at the end of the season, the focus wasn't necessarily the same as it was at the beginning of the season. But the season is very long and it is very exhausting for both the coaches and the athletes. It's one of the longest sports seasons, and it gets to be a lot coming in day after day after day, you know. But like I said, even though the focus wasn't always there at the end of the season, Brittany and I were able to kind of like dial them back in, get them refocused, and then they worked really hard. I think there's a lot of potential with this group just everywhere, defense and offense. Like, if these girls are going to put in the work in during JO, you know, do the club in the off season and get some reps in and get some touches on the ball and hit the weight room in the summer and do all of those things, there's no guarantee for next year's spots. Every year there's tryouts. So there's a lot of potential for these girls to take on some big roles. And I think there's a lot of capabilities in these girls. I think they just have to believe in themselves. You know, one of the biggest things I would say to the underclassmen is just become consistent, no matter what you want to do on the varsity team. If you're going to be just a server, then get your serving consistently. You know, do something that's consistent that sets you apart from the others so that you can kind of secure that role. Because we have a lot of good hitters, but we don't necessarily have a lot of good hitters that can hit the ball inbounds 9 times out of 10. So if you can do that, if you can master your skill and be, and I'm not saying you have to be perfect, but if you can be consistent and kind of help the stat chart go up a lot, that's a lot of what Lean looks at, is the stats and like what's going to help us be the most successful at winning. And it's always going to be the girls that are consistent and give us that best chance.
Lizzie Rammel, the sophomore coach here on Tiger Volleyball, recap of their season that finished at 8-10. We'll talk here on Tiger JV Volleyball next on Dakota Sports.
We're back on Dakota Sports Saturday. We continue talking lower level here on Tiger Volleyball, talking with JV coach Audrey Kaufman. She came in new on the staff this year, but not really new to Tiger Volleyball. We'll get to that coming up. But first off, Audrey, learned some things about you where you're kind of from the area, but you're kind of not from the area. I guess you really didn't grow up in this area, but been around a little bit, but you've always been around volleyball the way it sounds.
Yes, I'm not from the area. My dad's family's from Woonsocket. Grew up coming back and visiting them, but grew up and went to high school outside of Indianapolis area. Played volleyball in high school there. Managed to play in college at University of Charleston for a little bit, and then Kentucky Wesleyan College as well. Post-grad, dad decided he was going to move back to the area, and I said, well, why not join him? And life just kind of took off, and that was in 2019, and now it's almost 2025.
Now, like I said, you are familiar with the program in that you've been involved with Junior Olympic, the JO program, pretty much since you came back.
Yes, I met Lean and had reached out to him and had a conversation and ended up getting on to the coaching staff with the JO program here. I'm familiar with club. I played all throughout my career in high school, but definitely a different style of club here. So that took a little bit of getting used to, but throughout the few years that I have been, I've managed to end up being a co-director, which I do love it. It's a lot, but it's a good time.
But now things change there a little bit, too. You've always been basically coaching the oldest group of girls in JO, but now that you're on the Tiger staff, things will change here now this spring.
Yes, so pros and cons is that I get to coach them a little bit longer during high school season, but con is that I can't during JO, so I get the privilege of coaching some little ones this year, and I'm excited.
And I guess I didn't ask you about or tell you about this before we started, but you're not in the school system. You're not a teacher. What is your regular job?
My regular 9-to-5 job is I'm the accounts payable for my husband's family business, Stands in Alpena.
So they gave you the flexibility to be able to coach here during the 3 months.
Oh, yes. Very, very thankful for them. They dealt with my practice schedule and game schedules and being in and out and all of that. So they definitely were a very big factor in me accepting the position.
Well, let's talk some volleyball in here, talk about this JV team. And I guess the first thing is, while you were the new coach on the staff, you were familiar with just about all the girls you had, at least knew who they were if you had not coached them already in JO.
Yeah, so that is a positive of JO and being so involved with that. I knew at least at minimum all of their names and who they were, but who they were as a player and on the court, I got to learn that through this year, and that was good.
Well, just run down. Talk about the season first off here and some of the things you saw out of this bunch.
So our record is 5-13. Not what they had hoped for, I'm sure, just as any sports team would. But I think they played their best volleyball that they could, and that's just how athletics go sometimes. This year it was I think, a growing year for everybody. We had our 5-1 rotation with a freshman setter, Reagan Bischoff. I think she did a phenomenal job coming in, being a freshman and running that court. Obviously, there's room for development. She is a freshman, but I think she did a very good job. Our opposite of her, it kind of fluctuated. We had a little bit of fluidity between all of our hitters, between the middles and then the right sides and the outsides position. I would say our right side most of the time was Cam Fuchs. She is on the smaller side, as everybody can see, but she does a very good job and is a strong offensive player. She is definitely harder on herself than anybody else is, so working through those mental battles and figuring out how to jump those hurdles will be her biggest benefit.
And kind of go down the rest of the roster and kind of what they did for you. As I said, you had a good rotation.
Yeah, I think we had a little, like I said, a little bit of flexibility in what we could do with our options. But I think the best that I found confidence in was that we had our outsides as Kyla and Izzy. That's Kyla Pesky and Izzy Kramer. Kyla is a junior and Izzy is a sophomore. And I think Kyla grew a lot leadership-wise and just confidence-wise this year. I think she's told me before. But she appreciated that, like, I was willing to just work with her and things like that. And that's always good to hear as a coach, that sometimes you're not sure of how you're coming off. So that was nice. Izzy Kramer, she is a player that can earn you a point in just a pivotal moment and has that volleyball IQ that's really beneficial to have. So having her on the outside pin, getting a lot of our balls was a benefit. Going on to our middle position, we had Chloe for most of the season, Chloe Carr, who split her time with us in the varsity roster. And then we also had Jaylee Olson. Chloe coming in after being out of athletics due to injury gained a lot of confidence, and I think that confidence transformed into better skills. Jaylee is a powerhouse, which is good. You always need those in volleyball. But sometimes harnessing that power and turning it into placement is going to be better. So I hope for her that she'll use that brain and switch that flip that switch every once in a while. Following down that roster, a few of our other hitters were Colby Glanzer. She was an alternative right side who also played on the sophomore team. She has a lot of potential. She can jump out of the gym, just harnessing all of that athletic ability to translate to volleyball will be really good for her. We also had our libero, which is Taryn Cass. She saw a little bit of floor time on the varsity level, but most of it was played with me on the JV as a libero. And she has the skills. She just needs to get that voice up underneath of her to control the court a little bit more, and she'll be one heck of a DS. Following that, in our DSs, we had Lily Miller and Ava Wambach. Ava saw more court time for me than Lily, and not to any disadvantage of her own. Ava just sees and has a little bit more IQ than Lily, but Lily might out-pursue that ball when it comes to Ava. So they're both going to be very good DSs coming forward. The last DS we have is Haley Rogers, who also saw a lot of court time on the varsity level as a serving specialist. Has a great serve, just got to turn it into, instead of 75%, a 95% serve. But she covers the court well and knows when to turn it on. So,
and once again, we're talking with Audrey Kaufman, JV coach here on Tiger Volleyball, 5-13 season this year. And listening to all that, Audrey, I guess one thing, freshman, sophomore, junior, you mesh different girls together. They may not have played together before.
No, they definitely haven't. And even sometimes practices, my team, JV, was half sophomores, half varsity. So I fought my way to have every other day as a JV day. So they did have that practice time. But yeah, those relationships and the just physical communication without speaking, they didn't have that. So coming into the season, it was a little rough, but I definitely think it got a lot better towards the end.
And finally here, just to wrap it up, we had a big group of seniors this year. There's going to be spots to fill for the 7 o'clock match next year. You got girls that are that are able to maybe get there. But what do you want to see these girls work on? What are some of the things they need to do to get better to be helping on varsity next year?
I think for starters, don't assume you're going to have that starting position. Honestly, there's a lot of toss-ups and a lot of what-ifs and injuries, and you need to be the hardest working person in the gym always, and that will do you wonders. Outside the gym, outside of practice hours, the extra little touches, it'll come in handy. So work hard.
Audrey Kaufman, JV coach here on Tiger Volleyball. They finished their season at 5-13. We will talk some rodeo, big rodeo at the Decks coming up next weekend. That's next on Dakota Sports, KOKK. We're back on Dakota Sports Saturday and talking some more rodeo as Jazz McGurr from Huron, or I guess Huron and Brookings, joining us here. Part of the Mason Moody Jazz McGurr Invitational Bull Riding and Breakaway Roping happening at the Decks on Saturday, November 30th. Second annual event, and Jazz, first things first, I imagine getting the second annual event has been a little better than getting the first one together. You had 2 weeks last year. You've had a full year to get ready for this one.
Yeah, it has been a lot easier. It's been a lot smoother. We know what we're doing a little more this year, and having this time gave us, being able to bring in all the acts that we did this year, has been so much fun.
Yeah, now just to kind of set the stage here, you're a part of the SDSU rodeo team. You're currently attending SDSU, so I know rodeo has been in your blood way back in high school, and it was just nice to get an event together like this, one in Huron, and two, the fact we have the Decks made it all that much more possible as well.
Yeah, the Decks is a big reason we actually put this event on. My dad was on the board to get the Decks. I went to the state capitol to be in the meetings to get the Decks, and just having the facility to put this on in November when it's cold and is so good for us.
You know, and you went into last year not really knowing what was going to happen, but I'm sure by the time the event started last year, you know we can make this a permanent thing.
Oh, yeah. This year we were so much more prepared, and we know what to expect, and last year we just completely went in blind.
Well, talk about the breakaway roping of it right now. Who are some we're going to see in? We're going to see some of the top names in the event coming in.
Oh, yeah, we have a lot of big names coming in. We have 4 or 5 Badlands Circuit Finals qualifiers, which is the finals for our region in pro rodeo. And we have one NFR qualifier, which is the overall finals for the rodeo. And 10 of our girls, at least, are top 25 in the world, for sure. And then we have a bunch of good local cowgirls coming in.
And another way this event has grown, you got a couple of extra things going now. For instance, there'll be barrel racing during the day. Really not with you guys so much. They just asked if they could be part of the day. Just makes a fuller day out there. And also a trick rider coming in. Let's talk about the barrel racing. You said you're not really up on that. You just know there's going to be some extra people in for that, and you know, just helps add to the day.
Yeah, the barrel racing really makes our event bigger, and just, it has people there and keeps us involved all day and really helps bring people in for the event.
Now, the trick rider, tell me about this. This sounds like this is going to be really cool.
Yes, our trick rider's name is Candace Ament. I've watched her multiple times. She is amazing. You have to see it in person in order to really take it all in. She just does stuff you can't even imagine on a horse, like just hanging off the side and doing jumps off the horse, back onto the horse. She's amazing.
Now, tell us about yourself. You're, of course, a graduate of Huron High School, been at SDSU, been rodeoing there since you're about a year and a half away from graduation. So, first off, just tell us about yourself, what you're into there. Obviously, you're rodeoing, but you're also there for an education.
Yes, I'm a junior here at SDSU, and my major is graphic design. And I also work for my parents right now, doing graphic design work for them. But in Brookings, I am the women's team captain for the SDSU rodeo team, and I run their social media, and I also run the social media for the event. I'm also the vice president of the graphic design club here at SDSU, So I do a lot for them too. So.
No, as far as, you know, as far as going to class and stuff, you know, rodeo, it almost seems like that's almost two seasons, fall and spring, if I have it down right. So you are on the road some.
Yes. Our fall rodeo season is the first five weekends of the fall semester, and our spring rodeo season is the last four or five weekends in the spring semester. And there's no rodeo closer than 3 hours for us. We're always going at least 5-6 hours, but we are the center location, so we have the shortest drive.
And just overall, kind of wrap things up, when we look at the event there on the 30th, it was kind of a wing and a prayer last year, maybe the best way to describe it. Now this year, you guys got to feel, you're the organizers along with the Moody's, you got to feel this is something we can make permanent here in Huron. And while it is a busy weekend, if you're going to stick with this permanently Thanksgiving weekend, as it showed last year, people will come.
Yeah, we were blown away by the community support putting on this event, especially just 2 weeks out. Like, we were astonished with the crowd. We had about 1,500 people show up, and this year we've already sold out our VIP tables, which is 22 tables of 8 tickets. So we're still astonished by the support from the community.
Jasmine Gurr from Huron via South Dakota State, as she, Mason Moody, hosting the second annual Mason Moody Jazz McGurr Invitational Bull Riding and Breakaway Roping. That'll be a week from tonight at the decks at the State Fairgrounds. Again, social with the contestants will be at 5. Santa will be there. 6:15, Calcutta. And the Invitational begins at 7 o'clock. Tickets $15 in advance, $20 at the door. Should be a big crowd there again this year, just like last year, at the decks on the State Fairgrounds. Territorial Rodeo Update, brought to you by Premier Equipment of Huron, is up next. Thanks for listening to Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK.